Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
What the hell's going on here? I literally told him, I was like, you're in high school. And then he's like, no, I'm not in high school. Like, you f***ing idiot. You know? I was like, oh, geez, this guy's definitely not coming here now.
The podcast made by the athlete for the fans.
Kind of the main difference is that we're just pouring our hearts and souls into the sport. And I know our guys want to win. And that's what hurt in that moment. And what I had to kind of overcome and come to the realization, you know, this is what I signed up for.
Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Whether you are eating a snack, doing laundry, whatever you like to do while you listen to podcasts, we welcome you in to episode number 4 of Athletes Unfiltered. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Ekstrom, and my other host, as always, Taylor Adrian Martinez. Adrian, how's it going?
It's going, it's going good. But I will say, if you guys aren't in the joke, whoever's listening, it was a heck of a couple days for me. At the College World Series, having a good time. My girlfriend's there. My buddies are there with me watching a great, and I mean great, Vandy Stanford playoff game. And, you know, a camera crew comes over. Mm-hmm. I think it's like the seventh inning. It's kind of late in the game. They come up and they're like, hey, are you who we think you are? Like the Nebraska quarterback. I'm like, yeah, that's me. And so they just have the camera on me and they don't really tell me when I'm going to be on, whatever. And they don't end up saying a word to me the whole time. So I'm just sitting there, like, kind of trying to act as casual as possible, but it's pretty awkward, you know?
Yeah, just pretty awkward. Right there.
Like, literally right in my face. I'm like, okay. So my friends think the camera's just on me, when in reality, it's really on all of them. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, on me, but they're in the shot. So if you go back and watch the video, you can see me mouthing the words, like, fake talk to me, please. Like, fake talk to me. I'm fake talking to you. I'm fake talking to you. Like, I'm turning back and forth. Literally saying those words because my girlfriend's on her phone. Like, but the thing is, she was like recording a video of us, but it's hilarious because all her family members are just giving her like nonstop shit about like, oh, you're just on your phone, you know, blah, blah, blah. The next day, I guess I didn't even say the main reason it's a big deal, big-ish deal, but the camera, ESPN, they show my name as Taylor Martinez, which, of course, was a quarterback here, sharing the same last name as myself, and my phone blows up immediately. And I'm thinking like, oh, you know, I showed up on TV, like maybe that's why. I look at it and they're like, dude, they just called you Taylor. They just, oh, Taylor Martinez, blah, 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 Taylor Martinez. I'm like, oh, great. You know, this is just awesome.
Oh, boy.
You love to see this. So the next couple days, I don't think I heard my name, my actual name, maybe twice, 4 times. The rest was Taylor. I don't think there was a single person, and not to mention countless Instagram DMs and comments on Twitter, but you got to love it. You got to be able to laugh. And honestly, thank you, ESPN, for creating that moment because it was funny. Later the game, I think they felt like bad for me or something because they put me on the Jumbotron.
Oh, really?
And they put my actual name.
There you go.
I think that was a handout. There's no other reason that happened. And it was like the eighth inning, and it was an insane game. And they show some random college quarterback. Like, who wants? That was a handout. They felt bad for me. But you know what? Thank you. It was hilarious. But the jokes, I'm hoping they end soon.
Well, gosh, it was so big that the World Herald and Journal Star, they all made a quick story about it. It was that big.
Apparently, you know, I don't know. I guess it's kind of slow right now, you know?
I mean, it was like, I don't know, like 4 sentences or something like that. But They made, like, there was a link you could click on an article where it said that.
Yeah, and I just want all the speculation. We are not related in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, we just happen, you know, Martinez is a pretty common last name, I will say. But you got to love it. Whoever the production person is or whoever put up that name, don't beat yourself up about it. It was hilarious. You know, I'm just in agony. No biggie.
Like they say, any publicity is good publicity. Publicity.
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, they created the moment on Twitter. They just ran with it.
I haven't had a chance to try and do this. I'd be interested to see, like, what the broadcasters were saying at that moment, too.
Yeah,
like,
I think someone said, like, actually said my name correctly. Mm-hmm. But the, you know, whatever you want to call it, the graphic that came across was Taylor Martinez. So, who knows? And apparently I got some more airtime after that of them correcting it. So, I think they felt bad.
Well, there you have it. Adrian Martinez on the podcast, not Taylor. We get that settled. But stay tuned, because we have a great conversation with Brock and JoJo Doman coming up. Stay tuned. Please, I think both of us, please don't go away. We got some great stuff coming up. Stay tuned. Welcome back, Athletes Unfiltered, episode number 4. Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom with you here. And we have two gentlemen, not one, but two Doman brothers in the studio with us.
Yes,
boys,
sir.
How's it going?
Great to be here, man.
Doing wonderful.
Awesome. I mean, I think the first question we got to ask, Adrian, would Brock get away from JoJo on a blitz, or would JoJo hammer Brock?
Hey, you're asking me? I'm asking these guys.
Yes, you.
I guess you guys are both going to say, you know, this is tough. Brock, I like you, man. But the thing is, I got to go with my dog, JoJo. I have to. He's just a beast. You know, I think today I saw on Twitter just announced preseason All-American, you know. I think today? It was a PPF or whatever it is, you know, preseason All-American. Yeah, he didn't even see it. He's a humble guy. But he's a stud. He's just a beast. He's the best of the best. So I don't think I'm getting away from him either.
I mean, hey, you have your fair share of reps where we get each other.
No doubt.
That's the beauty of competing is you sometimes get God and sometimes you get him. So, and when it comes to Brock and I, like, we've been competing since we came out of the womb. So, like, he's beat me his fair share of times. I've got him his fair share of times. And it's all love.
Yeah, but I would say, though, he's got a different mode with me. Mm. So if we ever play against each other, he'll have like 4 sacks because he's got one
he's
mode.
He's gonna be turned all the way up.
He's got one mode and then he's got Brock mode, and it's a whole different level. Because in high school, in practice, yeah.
Now, who was the better? Obviously, Brock, you're a quarterback, so you're continuing that in your collegiate ranks. But JoJo, you played quarterback, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, who was the better high school quarterback?
Sheesh.
I definitely say Joe. This man went off.
JoJo, I didn't even know you played high school quarterback.
Yeah. Freshman year quarterback, I was better. I obviously took my talents elsewhere after freshman year. I mean, I went off freshman year.
I believe it.
Yeah,
Brock developed more.
Mm. I think he had like 35 touchdowns in 10 games, and he was out at half. Like, on, like, 7 of them.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Oh, I bet it was. I bet it was a good time. So how far exactly apart are you guys in age? Because I don't know.
15 months.
Oh, so you guys are close.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, they got busy.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it happens like that sometimes. Shoot. You love to hear that. But let's talk about, Brock, let's talk about your journey. Talk about, you know, I know you just committed to Louisville.
Congrats, by the way.
Yeah, congrats. There's a lot that happened before that. Let's, you know, touch on that as much as you want.
Yeah, so I'll just give a brief summary and then a little bit about what I learned from it.
Yeah.
So I went to Ventura Junior College out of high school, which is like 5 minutes from the beach in Southern California.
Yep.
Won the Southern California championship with them and then lost in the state game to Laney. And then got a scholarship to Campbell and had 11 days to decide. And I knew I wanted to get out of JUCO, and I knew it was a Division I scholarship, and it was an opportunity. So I took it, ran with it. Ended up redshirting there, and then it just didn't work out there with football and then also just outside of football. So it was definitely just I needed a change, and it was such a blessing. At the time, I had no idea because I never could have dreamt of going back to junior college,
yeah,
especially after, mm-hmm. you know, already being there. So
JUCO is different now. You know, everything I've heard JUCO is like you have to love it, man, if you're going to do it.
No, I mean, you can't be comfortable at all. I mean, it's meant to lily pad you on to a Division I school, but, you know, some people get comfortable there and find a home there. So it's really vulnerable, I'd say, because it's not – you can't just get, like
– complacent.
Yeah, you can't just – get on a scholarship and chill for the next 4 years. It's you know, get in, get out. It's everyone for themselves. It's very hard to build culture there.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Because of the turnover and all that. So that's honestly the hardest part as a quarterback is how to build a culture at a place that everyone's trying to get their own scholarship.
Mm. And you're trying to be a leader and trying to bring the team together, but these guys are concerned about getting theirs. And, you know, it's hard not to say, like, man, you should get yours, you know, but for a common purpose, I bet that was tough dealing with and trying to win games, you know, not just doing your own thing.
100%. And then I'd say the most empowering decision I ever made was going into my head coach at Campbell and telling him I'm in the portal and not knowing if anyone's going to pick me up and just going for it, believing in myself again.
Taking a leap.
Yeah. I knew I wasn't a clipboard boy. And so I just wanted to take another opportunity on myself and ended up going to Independence JUCO, which is an awesome program. And
That was the one on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
So that coach wasn't still there, was he? Because I think he was right?
He got in trouble, I thought, right?
He got booted.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And had an awesome season with those boys and had an opportunity to throw for UCLA. And then out of nowhere Louisville hits me up. It's like, hey, can you come throw for us, like, in 2 days? So we jump on, like, a plane. Like,
let's go. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. And then they did their due diligence and made sure no one else was out there and then pulled the trigger. So it was such a surreal moment just because I've always believed that I was a Power 5 quarterback. So for it to actualize, man, is just –
And you've been working for it for a while. And 100%. You've had a journey. You've had ups and downs, no doubt about it. Sounds like took a leap.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious because I did my research, obviously, and there's a quote of you saying that you weren't coming out of high school, you weren't ready to be a Power 5 quarterback. What do you think developed the most when you were at JUCO and going through that journey to now be a Power 5 quarterback?
Yeah. First and foremost, my body. Like, I think I really hit the weight room in college, which was awesome. You know, I lifted weights in high school, but it's just a different level of commitment.
There's no doubt.
To college. So arm strength specifically, I would say, definitely developed a lot in college. And then, honestly, like, I think I already have 20 games of junior college under my belt, and just you can't replicate game experience. Mm-hmm. So just having that level of college experience, even though it's not at the Division I level, still played probably 30, 40 guys that are at D1 schools all over the country.
You played guys who have been there, and you know what it looks like. You know what it looks like.
So, you know, I'm not walking in with zero experience. I think, honestly, I think it's amazing for quarterbacks. I would actually rather someone play a JUCO season and then jump to a university than redshirting and developing at a university. I just think game experience you can't teach. So I just grew so much from just playing, honestly, even just from week one to week seven this spring, like, was a world of difference. World of difference. So
I find it interesting too, because with the transfer portal, it's not a better time to be a player and the freedom of where you want to go and everything like that, but I also think it might have a negative impact on JUCO players.
100%.
Because the more D1 transfers that you have entering the portal pushes down the JUCO players. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, usually what they would do to try to fill those spots is JUCO guys. Now the priority is big time transfers out of Division Ones, mm-hmm. and then JUCO. So it used to be we're the number one option, and then it was high school, right?
Yeah.
Now it's, you know, D1 bounce backs, JUCO guys, and then high school. So, yeah, I mean, I heard there was like 2,000 some
people
in the
portal.
There's
a crazy number out there.
Yeah, and it's just like, and honestly, the biggest effect I would say was COVID, just because a lot of, you know, both these boys came back, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone's kind of backed up.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's crazy out there. Like you guys both touched down. I mean, there's a ton of people in the portal. Guys coming back, so teams have weird numbers, scholarship amounts, COVID and all the effects that had. But, dude, you still made it, and that's freaking awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All that stuff you went through freaking paid off. I don't think there's a better feeling than that.
It's hard to beat. Yeah, it feels so good to be playing the same level as my brother. Mm. I've always looked up to him in so many ways, and but I also knew that I was just like him.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't any pedestal, like, looking up to. It was just a role model looking up to. And it just feels good that, God made a way. And I honestly just feel so much more prepared than if I would have just had a regular journey.
I think it happened for a reason to put you in this spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
You got to love the Doman brothers. They're just getting deep on you, and you got to love it.
Right? Well, you got to be glad to get out of those small towns.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ventura was kind of nice, you know.
Ventura was wonderful.
And it didn't – tell me if I'm wrong, because I heard this the other day. I think I told my roommate, Tate, he's from Colorado, that you were hopping on the pod. And I think when – have you seen the video of Jared Goff going to the JUCO?
Oh, yeah.
And throwing?
Yeah. Yep.
Were you the quarterback there at that time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was
– Did you know it was Brock. Jared Goff at the time? What would you say?
I like Brock.
Hell, yeah.
No, I had no clue. They positioned it to us by saying that they're previewing this to potentially be the next last chance U spot.
Yeah.
And they were in the process of doing that, so that was believable.
Mm.
And then the transfer, he obviously had a wig on and all that stuff. And
yeah.
The quarterbacks were behind him. You know how we watch from behind in practice?
Yeah.
So I never saw his face.
Mm.
And they said he was a transfer from Middle Tennessee State, which – You don't know the quarterback from Middleton.
Yeah, you wouldn't just know it off the top.
They did a wonderful job of dressing it. So I
what'd you think when you saw him throw? Were you like, holy crap, this guy's insane? Or were you like, oh, this guy's pretty good?
I'm not going to lie. My competitor in me was like, I'm better than this dude.
Yes, sir. Yes. Exactly. It
like,
has to be.
I love how everyone, like, when they saw my reaction in the in the video, they're like, oh, man, you must have been so scared. I'm like, no, to be honest, I was just pissed.
Mm.
I wasn't scared whatsoever. But when he made some throws, I mean, I was definitely like very impressed. But I was more focused on how he got every rep of the practice and how what am I gonna do now? Like I was focused on things more important to me than how good this dude is.
For sure. Right?
Yeah. So.
Damn.
Yeah, so when he announced that it was Jared Goff, I didn't give a crap that it was Jared Goff. I was just happy the nightmare was over.
Yeah, for sure. Damn.
Yeah, but honestly, I've had some crazy experiences in the sense of then also the first clip of the Laney Netflix season, I'm on there because we face him in the championship.
Wow.
Mm. So. I think Netflix is just following me around.
I guess so. They got a thing. A thing for you, bro. Yeah, I know our teammate Will Honus, he was on like one episode of Last Chance U, and he was psyched about it because he like blew up the quarterback or something. It's like, dude, you got to check out that episode.
Hit him so hard.
Yeah, you already know. Joe, let's talk about you. Why'd you come back, for starters? Why'd you come back, man?
I had the end in mind. I try to live my life looking forward to looking back, and just this, my whole college experience in general, like I want to look back in 10, 20 years, like I did everything I freaking could to to help this program be successful, to leave a lasting impact. And I felt like I had unfinished business. COVID didn't even feel like a season. It kind of just felt like a bunch of scrimmages with a bunch of people that kind of cared, kind of didn't. And there's a whole bunch of distractions. And I definitely wanted one more go around in Memorial, 90,000. And
with the real thing.
Yeah, an opportunity to freaking just ball out with the N on my helmet before I even think about going to the next step, making money, trying to make a living, like just playing football as a kid.
Yeah, it's hard to beat. I mean, even go back to high school, it's not the same in college. It's different. Right. And I mean, it's grander, but that feel of playing like a kid and just truly enjoying it 100%, you know. In college, I would probably imagine it's the same way before you're getting paid, and it is truly a business.
Yeah,
you know, you don't get the days back, and I'm thankful. I know you know that. Yeah. I'm not questioning it, by the way. Yeah, I just had to ask.
We're all here for a reason, and I'm not one to question that. I'm just one to, I guess, dive deeper into it and find it.
Well, JoJo, let's go back to your recruiting journey. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was between Nebraska and Colorado, right?
That's right.
And obviously, you're from Colorado Springs. Colorado State is there, but, I mean, Colorado Boulder is just right over there. So that was kind of the home state team.
Yep.
How was that deciding to go to its biggest rival instead of choosing the hometown team?
Yeah, I never looked at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I have a humble background of where, like, I was praying on my hands and knees, like, my sophomore year for Wyoming. For Colorado State, for anybody.
Dude, I feel you on that. Anybody. I feel you on that. Like, you know, it's crazy. I'll never forget. I'm not going to mention his name, but when I was coming up through the ranks in high school as a freshman, there was a kid who was like a junior five-star, getting recruited like crazy. All these letters, and he was just like tossing letters away, like ripping them up and tossing them away. And I'm like, dude, I pray for those, just a letter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you finally get a letter, and then you finally get an offer, and then they start creeping in. But sorry to interrupt, but you just never forget that feeling.
Exactly.
You know, you try not to lose that hunger.
Right. So then when it came to, like, deciding, like, where am I going, I wanted a school where it meant something to play football there. As someone who literally just grew up in a football family and all he wants to do is play football with his life, that's what I was looking for. And when you break it down, like Nebraska, Colorado, like the experience here in Nebraska is second to none in the Midwest, and I had to jump on it, and I couldn't be happier I did.
Well, you talk about, obviously, Brother Rock, he plays football too. What also is the football background there in the rest of your family?
Right. My dad's been an NFL agent for over 20 plus years, so we grew up going to training camps, OTAs, getting, like, locker room passes after games, and really, like, being in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a jump in. What is the coolest story?
Let's say, I was just going to ask that, too.
The coolest story from one of those experiences.
This man's got the coolest story. Tell Arizona.
Yeah, so basically we're in Flagstaff, Arizona for the Cardinals training camp in 2010.
Okay, so Larry Fitz and
the year they're going on their Super Bowl run to lose to the Steelers.
Yeah, which was tragic. But
tragic. Nonetheless, great team. I'm up in Flagstaff, and my dad's there negotiating a new contract for his client, Eric Green, and basically needs to have a one-on-one meeting with the GM and is like, yo, EG, can you take Joe? Like, just mess around with him. Like, I'm about to go get you some money. Like, just enjoy yourself, right? Yeah. Make sure he doesn't do anything crazy. Well, my dad comes back from the meeting, and I got, like, $1,000 in my hand. And he's like, what in the world? What were you all doing? Like, I got $1,000 in my hand, and I got, like, XL, like, Cardinal gear on. Like, none of the clothes he left me with were on my body. And in the meantime, I jumped in a cold bath for 5 minutes up to my neck for $500. And then Edrin James in the locker room challenged me to a five-minute wall sit. And
Edrin James. I was a guy.
So I took his money, too.
of course.
Had a ball. I took around, got Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, Neil Rackers. Oh, I mean, all the guys. Wow.
Does it get better than that when you're a kid, too? I mean,
no.
Come on.
Like, no. And then then to cap it all off, like, we're headed home, and my dad and I get through TSA, and I'm like bugging him, like, yo, dad, and my dad's thinking I'm going to say something, you know, inappropriate. So he's like, just wait till we get through security. Like, tell me afterwards. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like, don't talk. Like, do not talk. So I wait. We get through. And I'm like, I think I left the money in the rental car.
No.
He's like, are you kidding me? So we ended up calling. A lady picked up. My dad had to sell it. I said it was my birthday.
had to, yeah. Weren't giving that money back otherwise.
Right, exactly. So she goes, finds the money. We thank her. She ends up sending it in the mail with a birthday card.
Oh, wow.
What an angel.
Wow, what a good that's lady. Awesome, too bad right? It wasn't your birthday, but hey.
But that's
what
that's,
about you? You got one?
Yeah. Mine's a little more unique in the sense of it wasn't necessarily about being with the NFL players, but it was the experience.
Yeah.
So I got to go to Alaska when I was in fourth grade for my dad's client's wedding. He was a guard for the Broncos, and got to go on a cruise to a helicopter that took us onto a glacier, and we went dog sledding.
Holy cow. That's so sick.
For funsies.
Just because you can. Right. I mean,
yeah,
why not?
And like, I remember in the helicopter, you like saw wild grizzlies everywhere. And
dude, I heard Alaska's like a different planet.
It was in the summertime. And so when we got in, it was like 2 a.m. and the sun was, it looked like it was like 4 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing.
I couldn't do that.
It was like people were walking their dogs. And I was like, are you sure, Dad, it's 2 a.m.? And he's like, yeah.
Wow.
And like they have these special blinders and
this is going to be sound dumb, but what's that one movie with Sandra Bullock in it and Ryan Reynolds? Something about a proposal. There's going to be a listener that knows what I'm talking about. Anyways, they go to Alaska and they're like they have to fake like they're married and doesn't matter. I remember the blinds. That was the reference.
Yeah.
Blinds reference. The special blinds. It'd be hard to sleep in that. I don't know.
But honestly, I'd say the coolest part about it all is just not knowing at the time because we were kids, like just how much we looked up to them. And then getting really great, like just energy back from them because we were, you know, their agent's sons that like they treated us like regular people. And we treated them like regular people because we didn't know any differently as kids.
And that goes a long way.
Yeah.
And so just being able to communicate with a professional athlete like on just a friendship like level, I don't know, like really inspires you that like there's no need for pedestals because you can like people are humans at the end of the day.
And we developed this idea like I can be that. Like, he's no different than me.
Mm. Yeah.
Like he didn't. A lot of kids see him on TV and they're like superheroes, you know, and you got to see him on a level that like, wow, they're not that much different than me.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It felt tangible.
Yeah. 100%. That's so dope.
Wild. Wow. Yeah. I mean, those experiences came because we just rotated. So like when he came back from Alaska, I was like, what the heck?
Where's my?
You got to take me on a dope one next. Yeah. This is crazy.
For sure. I think that says a lot about your dad, too. That's really cool. You know, he has those type of relationships because I don't think that stuff happens with, you know, everyone, just anybody.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Where were we with JoJo, though? I kind of interrupted you there.
Yeah.
We broke off on something, but your journey to Nebraska, your recruitment. Who was the coach at the time when you committed?
Mike Riley.
Oh, so it was Mike Riley.
Yeah, okay. I got recruited under Mike Riley. Trent Bray brought me here, and within, it was two seasons?
Yeah.
Two seasons, I got the boot, and that was wild.
What was that? How did you find out, and what was that transition like?
I think I found out on Twitter with, like, everybody else.
Oh, boy.
You know, what's crazy is more and more people find out through Twitter. It doesn't happen face-to-face, and I don't know whose fault that is. Like, who do you blame?
Right.
But it's just unfortunate. Guys shouldn't have to find out that way, but it happens all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Right. Just like Moose. Like, how'd you find out about Moose?
Yeah, we all found out on Twitter. I mean, it's a tough way, but I'm not – honestly, I have no idea, you know, what the situation is there, but
I'm
confident.
I definitely think there's some confrontation issues at times when it comes to transition with college – coaches.
Well, you know, there's egos at play, huge egos. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And maybe there's too much pride to stand in front of a team and be like, hey, I'm getting fired, or whatever. There's people are in such a rush to get information out, and, you know, reporters, this and that, they all want the first, you know, the first whatever, breaking news. And I can't, like, that's their job. You can't blame them for that. And so it's just a circle that who's really to blame? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, Jodo, too, because, I mean, the writing was on the wall by the end of Riley's tenure, too.
Yeah.
So, like, how was it being on a team like that with that, like, cloud over the team being like, you're not going to win. If you're not going to go above 500 or something, your coach is done. Like,
right.
How was that? Because, that was, like, widely speculated throughout the second half of the year.
I think, like, everyone deflects responsibility. Mm-hmm. So, like, the coaches were probably like, darn it, we need better players in here. And the players are just trying to disassociate themselves. We're going to do our thing. I don't know. Like, I think in those cases, like, nobody wants to take extreme ownership of the failed process.
Mm.
So whatever that entails, everything that entails.
And how was that change? Obviously, Riley leaves, Coach Ross comes in. How was that transition? Because it must have been weird.
It absolutely was weird. It was exciting, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, Scott Frost coming back to Nebraska, I think I was in the same boat as everyone else. Like, I was jumping up and down, ready to go, wanting to play for Coach Frost. And but it obviously came with its challenges. They didn't know who I was. I was coming off injury. Mm. I didn't get to compete in spring ball, their first spring ball here. And we're going into fall camp, and they just, you know, they have this idea of me, but they don't actually know me. Mm-hmm. And here I am, like, a kid who's coming out of the training room, like, trying to prove himself. And
I bet that was stressful.
Absolutely. And then I have a sacral stress fracture from squatting too much. And I missed the first, was it 5 games of 2018?
Yeah, at that point, too, I didn't know how good you were either, though. You know, I didn't get to – I think Giff was hurt, too, during spring. I had no idea.
Right.
No idea. You didn't get that chance necessarily.
I had no idea.
But yeah. Found your way, you know? You kind of find that confidence back during that time. Like, what was – how'd you end up figuring it out? You know?
So 18 months without football.
Wow.
Just
wow.
Back-to-back ACLs. It made me ask the question for the first time, like, who am I without football?
Yeah.
And I really, really grew internally, and came to terms with myself and who I am and what I stand for and what I want to be. And it really gave me the opportunity to dream, as someone who's crutching around and, really only was looking forward to the relationships in my life, and everything else was painful or stressful or a nuisance. It centered me, it grounded me, and it was like maybe the single most like growth aspect of my life up to this point. That like without that event, I'm not sure I would still like be sitting right here.
Yeah, you wouldn't be nearly the same guy you are right now. I mean,
exactly.
That's, you know, life altering.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So then getting back to football, it was 90% in my head. Like, I was 7 months out from surgery. I should physically be able to do these things, but I have to mentally be above the negativity, above the doubt, above the fear. And that's something
And not even like outside doubt, but like internal doubt, exactly. You know, which is greater, I think, than outside
so
doubt.
So much greater. Yeah, I wasn't even tuned into that. I could care less because I was trying to prove to myself I can do this. Mm. I can still play football at the level that I know I'm capable of.
Yeah. I think that year was the Ohio State game, right?
That's right.
And, you know, we're playing Ohio State. I think you got that strip sack.
Mm-hmm.
Legendary stuff.
That was his best play. That's not me so far.
And that wasn't me.
How not?
That wasn't me. It was the football gods blessing them in the right place, right time.
Mm. That's and how like, it goes sometimes, man. But
that's how it goes.
There's a saying out there, a phrase, something like preparation and opportunity equal luck or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you worked your ass off to get that opportunity, get that. You know, sometimes the ball falls your way, but it's less about luck than you think, you know?
And I was present. Like, mm. I was
I'm with you there too. The growth mindset and being present in the moment. Right. I mean, they're huge things to key on, and something I found myself getting to. You know, it wasn't easy.
Totally.
Yeah, I think one thing though, to be able to get to that point, one thing we touched about earlier was finding himself outside of football. You know, being in JUCO as many times as I have, you know, I definitely had to consider the alternative path of not reaching my dreams. Mm. And I really just fell in love, like, you got to fall in love with who you are as a person and your potential. In it doesn't matter the hat you wear. Like, right now we're all college football players, but, like, you know, one day we're going to change that hat to whatever it is, whether it's professional or real estate or you know, whatever you get into, right? Not being attached to that by your identity, but just being a part of it. So I reminded myself, you know, even yesterday, you know, I'm not the Louisville quarterback. I'm Brock Doman, who decides to play football at Louisville.
Yeah,
and that's a big difference.
That's huge. That's huge. I mean, that's hard to do because, I mean, from personal experience, I know I think I touched on it last episode, but my sophomore year, man, I wasn't Age Martinez who played quarterback. You know, I was the quarterback, and that was my identity. That's who I was. And when you do stuff like that, the ups and downs are tremendous.
Right.
You know, and when we play on college game day and we get smacked by Ohio State, the low is pretty low.
Yep.
You know, you throw three interceptions and fumble, whatever, you know, like you're down because you're attached to that. There's got to be a detached interest.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with both of you guys more.
Yeah. Like your emotions are performance based. So like based on your performance dictates like how you feel about yourself. And that's the wrong way to go about it.
No doubt.
Easier 100%. Said than done.
Yeah, I mean,
we're talking because we've been there, done that.
No, exactly. You know what? I love this because I just got smacked in mini games in golf earlier today. And it was like, it was really affecting me, right? And I'm just now coming to the realization of like, that can't affect how I feel about myself, you know? It sounds silly, but like even, that's why we love golf, is it can simulate competition. And then from there, you learn how to become a better competitor by being neutral.
I couldn't agree more with you again. Right? I mean, it's like a mind game.
Yes.
You know, because it's so easy to get frustrated. And when you lose focus, you're not dialed in, you're frustrated with yourself.
The whole goal is to enjoy it.
Oh, I do, but then at the same time, it's funny. Like when I'm playing my best, I'm not even thinking. I'm just relaxing. I'm playing and enjoying it. I'm being present.
Mm-hmm.
You try too hard or you're whatever. I mean, it's what makes you great, though, like you said. I mean, one thing
I noticed as a QB, I don't know if you can relate, is like you get so zoned in sometimes that the few moments in the game you like aren't in that, and you like take a second and you think to yourself, it's kind of crazy in the sense of like you're just out there and you're like, okay, like just got to be present again. Like it's not easy. Like it's really not.
No.
It takes so much mental power because it's so easy to be able to have a thought come into your brain and marinate on it when it's not necessarily beneficial to be thinking about it.
Yeah, no doubt. Important to the right now. You know, that's the one thing I think is really cool about quarterback. It is hard physically, you know, putting a pass wherever, 20 yards to the right, just outside the defender or over
moving
the defender.
Target.
But bigger than that is the mental aspect. And I think the amount you have to focus and stay dialed in with a bunch of other things flying around, it's pretty, I mean, that's what makes it fun. It's an incredible challenge.
Yeah, it is.
No disrespect to the nickel outside linebacker hybrid guy over there.
I can relate.
No, he cannot. This man, when he played, he would look at his first read, and then he would take off, and he was a better athlete than everyone.
Oh, I bet it didn't even matter.
So
stiff arm a guy into oblivion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this man had probably twice as much rush yards as pass and touchdowns. So, but, I mean, he was ridiculous.
He was the Tim Tebow of that.
Led my team to victory.
period, you know. That's awesome.
But yeah, he wore number 7, and 15 wasn't available at Louisville, so I'm going to wear number 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Love that.
Yes, sir.
You're right. You're right. That's awesome.
So, JoJo, not we don't have any video in here. Obviously, we don't. I don't know what you posted lately on the gram, on Twitter, but for you guys out there that know what JoJo looks like, he shaved his head.
I did.
He totally shaved it off.
Bald.
Was it bald?
It was bald.
So it's, wow, it's like a nice buzz right now.
Yeah.
But it was bald. So there was a reason behind it. We haven't talked about it in depth, but I want right. you to touch on it.
Yeah. Okay. So I just basically I'm reading this book, Green Lights, Matthew McConaughey. Highly recommend it. It's not a self-help book in the sense of he tells you how to live your life. He just reflects on his life experiences in a way that's very relatable. And basically, the man in pursuit of himself goes down to Africa and floats down the Amazonian River with snakes and pythons wrapped around his body.
Dude.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
In pursuit of a wet dream that was actually a nightmare. He just needed a change of scenery. He needed to get relative with himself. So he left.
And he risked his life.
Risked his life, shaved his head, ended up wrestling like a tribe leader and like stalemated it. And
that's kind of sick, though.
And earned the whole tribe's like respect and like still is like best friends with one of the dudes on his trip. Like,
I need to read this book. You need to read this book. I haven't. My dad actually gifted me this book and I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, and it's on Audible. You get one free download on Audible and it's actually Matthew McConaughey like narrating it. So that might be the way to go.
Just to get started, like a little kickstart, like, oh, now I got to keep going.
Yeah.
Honestly, I like the Audible better because his voice is just soothing. I
mean, he's iconic, yeah. dude. Yeah. You know, that one, like, Lincoln commercial, he's, like, talking all smooth, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
The only bad thing about him is he's a Texas fan.
I've always been driving a Lincoln before.
Yeah. Your impression.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. You know, have you heard about, like, the Amazon? You know, why would anyone go to the Amazon? There are so many things there that can kill you.
Yeah.
There's like piranhas, crocodiles, sharks can get in there, anacondas. You know, man. Maybe there's tribes, you know, whatever. He literally went to Africa and laid in a river with like all these things wrapped around him. Like,
yep.
I don't, that's nuts.
On his own accord.
Just it's because he wanted to. Because
he wanted
find
to.
Find himself in a different way.
Right. And so the meaning of shaving the head was to lose attachment to your earthly appearance. Mm. To lose attachment to your earthly appearance. I've looked in the mirror for the last 15 years and saw basically the same dude with the same haircut. And for me to get to a point where I was just like, I needed something fresh. I wanted to get relative with myself and kind of get back to the basics and refine myself in a way. And the simple act of shaving my head like helped propel me into like, okay, what do I want to do with myself? And like when I look at the mirror at night, like who do I feel?
It's kind of like a reminder in a way of what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish that
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Yeah. And I did it the first day and I woke up the next day and I was more surprised than the first day when I actually shaved it off. I was like, oh my God, this is real.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. Huh. Let's center ourselves. Let's ground ourselves. Like, what's my mission? What's my purpose today? What's my intention? Like, and it just like every day I wake up, it is a reminder of like, you get one life, man. You get one opportunity. We got 3-4 more months together to maximize it. And
time flies, man.
It's gonna set us up.
Yep.
So let's maximize it.
Just giving some straight inspiration on the pod today. I hope 100%. People are inspired.
So this episode has been deep. Like, yeah. Holy cow.
We've gotten a whole new level, and I love it.
I texted y'all to bring your floaties. We going in the deep end.
Dude, you know what? You're lucky you have some great hair. You're lucky because some other dudes, like your brother too, I can see it. Good hairline. Like, you're solid.
Right.
One of my roommates, won't mention his name, Brody Belt. But if he shaved his head, he'd be done for. Dude would be done for. Right. So. That's something to be thankful about.
No doubt. I am thankful for this beautifully shaped head.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Brock and JoJo Doman on with us on Athletes Unfiltered. We'll take a break. Come back with the best part of the show. Tweets Unfiltered. Up next. Stay tuned. We return here on Athletes Unfiltered. Adrian Martinez, Jeff Ekstrom, along with the Doman brothers, Brock and JoJo. Best segment of the show, Tweets Unfiltered. Adrian, we got a good one from Frank Culpepper. And this is a response to the poll that we released about Adrian being a center or Cam Jurgens being a quarterback.
Yep.
And a response to that was, quote, if we have another losing record this year, I'm blaming it on the podcast, unquote.
Ridiculous.
Great. 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 Let's go, Frank.
I got, yeah, JoJo's responding for me, actually. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Man, this podcast is an opportunity for us to speak our minds, for you to get inside of the head who's inside of the actual helmet. If you only love us for what we do in between those lines, then you're not an actual fan. Like, true love is unconditional. So if you don't love this program and every person that comes through it just because for just to love something, to be a part of something, then, dude, you're in it for the wrong reasons, Frank. I don't. You might get a second chance, probably not.
Mm. Do we need to go on?
Do I even need to say anything after that? I mean, bars. I couldn't even. I can't replicate that. I can't. I will say, just for everybody's information, we will be backlogging the podcast. Mm-hmm. We won't be actively recording during the season, but I can promise you stuff will be coming out during the year. It just won't be recorded during that time. And that's the facts.
Oh, and well, we got to ask, since it's about the response to this poll, do you guys vote?
So pretty much, I'll give you the premise. Because that was a no. I got that look from JoJo. He didn't vote.
I didn't vote.
Would Cam Jurgens be a better quarterback or would I be a better center?
Like in game.
I guess. No. I mean, maybe like give me like a month to maybe put on as much weight as I physically can.
Quick 50.
Yeah.
Yes, he is the center right now. He's the active center.
Well, you're the center. You're just going. You're just sliding to the zone side every time. You got it's a 3-on-2 most times.
Dude, I know the protections, man. I know that run game.
Yeah, I would have to go with you being the center just because.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know how you would handle a 330-pound nose tackle, but yeah, exactly. Where you know a center at QB, unless you're running, you know, QB sneak.
That was his argument. Was like he was just gonna do that. Freaking
with you at center.
Well, maybe assuming there's an actual center out there. Yeah, if we both were flipped, we'd all just right. Everyone would be fucked no matter what.
Yeah, put me on offense at that point.
Yeah, but yeah.
I mean, anyways, put him on offense. We need to
put me on offense.
JoJo wants to play both sides this year.
I need to see him at a receiver rep. I have to. He got recruited like by half of his schools for a receiver, and really? I pushed for him to be a receiver. He wanted to be defense, so.
Yeah. I mean, defense is fun. You get to hit people.
It's a different mentality. Yeah. I mean, is it not? You know, you kind of get to just put your nose. Obviously, there's thinking on both sides mm-hmm. of the ball, but there's like a different, like, we're like the bad guys out here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he likes being the bad guy, for sure.
That you can't necessarily bring, you know, on offense. It's just different.
Yeah, there's a lot of intangibles on defense, right? Instincts. What's the A word I'm looking for?
Anticipation.
Right? Like, you can't.
That was insane.
You can't teach those things. That was funny. That's that brotherly love right there. You can't teach those when, like, I mean, I could be a baller receiver. How many walk-ons are like some like great route runners catch every ball consistent that never get a shot to actually play because, you know, there's a more talented, bigger, faster, stronger, highly touted recruit that's going to get more opportunity than them solely based on potential. So defense is kind of like an opportunity where like you either make plays or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's very objective.
It's a good perspective.
I say I like that.
We got any more tweets? You guys got to have something.
Dude, I don't.
There's got to be something out here.
Don't come at me sideways on Twitter. You're going to get the hands.
Yeah, dude, not a lot of hate.
I'll throw one of my burner accounts at you.
Oh, no.
We'll get after it.
You got. Are you a big burner guy? Is that a thing?
Dude, I saw KD do it and thought I'd try.
Who, KD?
Yeah, it keeps the hate off me, honestly.
Should I get a burner account? Maybe that's the next poll we need to throw out there. Should I get a burner account?
And roast the dudes who are roasting you.
But then they'll know it's me.
Like, get your back. No, like, but give them valid points. Like, just you don't tip your hand. Yeah, just hit them with the facts.
Give them the facts.
Like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm.
Like, literally, quite literally.
Quite literally.
I think you have to be pretty invested at that point.
It would go. It'd be like counterintuitive to everything we've talked about.
Oh man, that's a thing.
I think you let your like mom get on it and.
Yeah, you just know, let my her family clap back.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, my dad, I'll never forget, you know, he was even, it's hard, though. Like, my grandparents, they're on social media because that's where everything's kind of happening now. And they don't have a, I don't think, a complete understanding. I'm not even sure they know how to find this podcast. Mm. But.
Besides the link you're sending them.
Yeah, besides that. So.
Right.
They'll comment on everything I post, you know, the sweet stuff. But then they see all these other hate comments, whatever, and they take it too seriously, you know. And my parents are kind of the same way that way. And I've always encouraged them, like, do not respond, no right. matter what. Like, it's, look, if this is giving the person on the other end of that phone satisfaction, let them, mm-hmm. you know. We're bigger than that.
You got to pick your battles.
Pick your battles. Like, this isn't one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not worth your energy, but right. I think it's easy to get caught up in. Guest questions. That's another questions. Segment.
We can do that. Guest questions.
Mm. What has been an aspect of your inner monologue with yourself that you believe has helped you circumnavigate all the hate, all the doubt, all the expectations? Like, what aspect within you has helped you overcome those obstacles?
Well, I'll try and touch on something outside of like what we've already talked about because, yeah. you know, that experience, very similar experience that I had kind of finding that identity outside of football. That was a big thing. And then mm-hmm. being present in the moment and finding joy in it mm-hmm. and not being another thing that I think is important, not being outcome oriented, you know, realizing I'm growing, I'm getting better no matter what, just because the third throw of the day on a Tuesday practice isn't perfect, like, doesn't mean I have to beat myself up and lose the rest of this day because I'm that pissed off and that frustrated that I'm not loose and playing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm getting the rep. I'm getting better. It's a process. I grew today. I got better today, and that is what it is. And we go play whoever on Saturday, and I give everything I got. Everything I got, I prepped. Everything I got, I fumble. Mm-hmm. You know, we lose the game. All right, I got better. I left it all out there. It's not necessarily the outcome. When you're focused always on the outcomes, it's like you're not always going to win. But when you're focused on growing, and yes, I got better, mm-hmm. and I'm getting better, and I'm climbing up that mountain. You know, it's a brick by brick. It's a process. It's a, you know, it's the constant kind of communication to yourself that way.
Yeah,
that I think has helped fuel me and keep me going, and not necessarily like it's got to be a win.
Yep,
and I think that's a big thing.
I love that.
You know, and honestly, I wouldn't have found that if we were just winning all the time, if there wasn't adversity. You know, I wouldn't have had to overcome that and kind of find that process, because I think it's, you know, obviously biased, but I think it's like a really good approach. Yeah, and it's not something I came to on my own by any means. You know, I've had help getting there, and,
yeah,
you know, I think Dr. Brett's been a great help. Shout out Dr. Brett.
Shout out.
But it's been a process finding it. But being there and kind of accepting that and
yeah.
letting that, I don't even know how to describe it beyond that, you know, but it's been big for me.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah. And like, I think it even carries over in the weight room. You know what I mean? Just thinking of it that way. Like, I'm growing today.
Yeah.
I'm getting better today. I'm all right. Let's show up. Let's approach this for what it is right now. Let's mm-hmm. not think about the homework I have to do later. Let's not think about, you know, the game I have in a month. Let's think about that squat rack and what I'm about to put on the bar.
Yep.
And how that's going to benefit and how I'm going to overcome that. Can't control anything else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Love that, man.
Yeah, I got a question for you. You want to go first?
Oh, I was just going to say it. Thinking, just constantly thinking about the future is like so tough not to do.
Mm. It is.
It's so tough not to do.
Or the past. I mean, that's honestly, it's like what anyone ever does. Like, you're always thinking about what I'm going to do or what I just did or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. how about the right now?
Yeah.
And what's wild about the future is it's just the next present moment. So.
Bar. That's a bar.
No.
It's another bar. Dude, we're hitting bar. We've got some serious wisdom flying out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my question for you, as a guy that's just now going into the position that you're in, with the wisdom that you've had over, I mean, what's awesome about your experience and both of y'all's experience is you're going to look back with such a smile, not because of the win-loss record, but because of what you got out of it as a man.
Like the hard-fought wisdom.
Yeah, for 100%. Sure. And like the brotherhood's going to be through the roof because of just all the days you guys went through some hard shit together. You know, that's what makes a brotherhood. It's not, you know, rainbows and sunshine. But if you could go back, you're in my position. You're stepping into this opportunity in Nebraska with what you know now. What would be your mindset going in?
Mm. What would you tell yourself?
Well, beyond the things we've talked about, because I feel like I wish I knew the things I did now. Obviously, mm-hmm. everyone does. But don't take any moment for granted. I think anything that I have to tell you, I think you already know. You know what I mean? Just hearing you talk and, like, you got Joe. Compete. If you don't believe in yourself, no one will. You know, I know you know that. But coming in, like, let's learn everybody's name. The relationships go a long way, mm-hmm. you know, and when no one's looking, when you're working your ass off, the little moments in practice, what someone else doesn't think matters, you think matters, and it all carries over until it's a momentum that can't be stopped, you know? And I think I did some great things, but I think I stopped because I didn't know exactly what got me to that point. Mm-hmm. You know, it was almost an unconscious, like, will to compete. Not that my will to compete left me, but it was like, you know, some of the things that I was doing when I first got there, I wish I never stopped. So maybe that's another thing. You know, that hunger that you're going to have when you first get there, don't let it fade. You know, don't let it go away. Even when you go in there and compete and win the job.
Yeah, I think one of the hardest parts is what you're willing to do while you're in the competing process. And then once you achieve it and you are the starter and being able to sustain that, you know, doing what it took. 100%. That's extremely hard. I mean, yeah. I even experienced that at Independence. You know, when I was competing for the job, you know, 4 months ago now, 5 months ago. And then when you've been the starter for 6 weeks, it's a completely different story.
It's crazy. I think it's like human nature too. You know what I mean? And when you have so much focus on one objective or one goal or whatever, and you get that goal, not becoming complacent with whatever it is.
And I won't even say what's tough is just also you got to have some balance though. So I think what also tailors into is once you, like, I remember thinking to myself, you know, week 6 or 7, like, why? I feel like I put in more time, you know, early on in the season than now. And it's like, well, early on in the season, I was trying to learn the playbook. Like, there's also just some natural things where, like, you kind of figure it out to the point where you have more time on your hands just because there's less things you need to figure out because you've already figured them out. But then utilizing that time then to further it, right? But it's tough because, you know, you also are a human being and you want to be social. But
yeah, you want to have a life outside of that.
But then, you know, every decision you make as a quarterback outside of football is being watched as well. So it's just
– yeah. It is, and you got to know, like, how your teammates are viewing you, and you got to be a leader not just on the field but off it. That's another unique challenge of playing quarterback, but part of what makes it so great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and even to build off that, like, there's always that next step we can be taking.
Definitely. Right? I mean, that's life.
Like, as soon as you got that hitch down, that 15-yard hitch, like, to start throwing that 18-yard comeback. And for me, it's like as soon as, like, I got the coverage aspect down, like, well, to make myself even more valuable, like, let's learn how to rush the passer. Like, there's always a next step you can take within your profession to just become more valuable and become a greater asset to the team, to the outcome, to the game. And I think if we continue to have that drive in our hearts, like, we're the only thing that can get in our way.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that.
Awesome. Brock, JoJo, thank you guys for joining us. I don't know, Adria, this conversation is right here is, I think, why we wanted to do this.
No doubt, dude. I think people are going to be really juiced about this conversation. It was
heartfelt one and one that I think will hit home for many people.
Thank you guys for having us, man. We appreciate the opportunity to come speak our hearts with y'all. I love you boys, and let's get after it this fall.
Yes, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
Brock, good luck in Louisville.
Thank you.
Quick shout out to random person from TJ Maxx. I want to appreciate you for supporting the podcast, for commenting on the podcast, giving us feedback. It is much appreciated. You're very sweet, and I love that you changed your Twitter name to Random Person in TJ Maxx. So I hope you continue loving each day and each moment. You're the best. Thank you again.
Make sure to follow the podcast at capital A-T-H Unfiltered on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure to follow our personals as well at Martinez the QB and then at X on Sports. Thank you so much for listening in. For Adrian Martinez, I'm Jeff Ekstrom. We'll see you next time.
Boom!